Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus. And join us today, we have the pleasure of having a conversation with Dr. Heather Wilson. Dr. Wilson, as most of you are aware, took the reins of UT El Paso August 15th of this year. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that some of her past history and some of the things that she may or may not have planned yet. And we're probably going to have her on, we hope, a lot more times for you to be with us. Dr. Wilson, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you.
Now, tell us a little bit, first of all, about your background. I remember when you first got here, you sent out a message to everybody in the UTEP community. And what grabbed me was the story that you told about your mom and saving your money. And you were going to go to a YMCA camp, YWCA. And the response you gave your mom when she said that you were going to use part of that money was just incredible for a 10-year-old.
Well, actually, I was about six because I remember the house we were living in, and we moved away from that house a little while afterwards. But my, so I had a little bank as a kid. It was a Crisco can with the cover, you know, a slit cut in the cover to put in change and things that people had given me. And my mother said to me that that I could go to YMCA camp the following summer, and that I could use the money in my can that I had saved, and she would match the rest. And I said, I can't do that. And she said, well, why? And I said, because I'm saving that money for college. And I remember her just laughing. And I probably would have laughed, too, if I had a six-year-old saving for college. But for some reason, nobody in my family had ever been to college. But somehow I knew I was going. And that commitment kind of deepened as I got older. I just knew from a very early age that that was something I was going to do.
And did you know at that point what career path you wanted to go?
Oh, heck no. When I was a junior, so my father was killed in a car accident when I was quite young and when I was in second grade. And my mother remarried, and that didn't last. So she went back to work when I was in elementary school. But when I was a junior in high school, they opened the Air Force Academy to women. And my grandfather had been a flyer in the First and Second World Wars. My father was a flyer before he passed away. That was kind of interesting to me. That was an opportunity to learn leadership and to do something different. And it was a challenge. And so I applied to the Air Force Academy and got a full ride scholarship, which, as I've described to others, was a ticket to a dream.
One of the things that you shared with us in the past was, and you just mentioned a little while ago that you were the first in your family to go to college, but you were also the first, as far as your grandpa goes, as far as granddaughters, daughters, because he had all boys.
He did. My grandfather was a flyer in the First World War, and he was one of the smartest men I knew. He could use any tool. He was a pilot and a mechanic, but he had a ninth grade education, but he was a really smart guy. And I think he had two sons, and had five grandsons and me, and I was the one who wanted to do this Air Force Academy thing. But when I was thinking about the academy, my mother told me I should go talk to him, which I did. And I actually remember where he was sitting in his living room when I went to talk to him about this Air Force Academy thing. And I told him about it, and he got real quiet. And then he said, well, I flew with some women in World War II, the WASPs, and they were pretty good sticks, which means pretty good pilots. So I guess that'd be okay. And so I had his blessing. And so there were women in an earlier generation who opened up doors for me who never even knew what they were doing.
And was it difficult attending the academy, being the first class?
I was in the third class with women, but it was tough to go to the academy, man or woman. I think there were still a lot of people who didn't think women belonged there. And I remember they've taken it down now, but one-way ticket to Colorado Springs, and you get on the bus and you go up to the base of this ramp, and there's that beautiful chapel up on the campus, and you walk through this arch over which at the time were the words, "Bring me men." And it's the first line from a wonderful poem called The Coming American. Bring me men to match my mountains. Bring me men to match my plains. Men with empires in their purpose and new eras in their brains. And so it's a wonderful poem, but they eventually took it down after about 20 years of it being a co-ed institution.
You mentioned your grandfather earlier, and what's unique about that is that not only did he serve during World War I, World War II, but he served for two different countries.
He did. He was a Scot. So he lied about his age when he was 17 and went into the Royal Air Force in 1918. So he was one of the first founding members of the RAF when it was first established in 1918. And then after the war, there was no work in Scotland. And so he emigrated to America. And then he wrote home to my grandmother, the gal he'd been dating in Aberdeen, Scotland, and asked her to come to America to marry him, and she did. So she got married the day she got off the boat in Boston. In fact, I wear her wedding ring as my own. We were very close.
We were visiting with Dr. Heather Wilson, University of Texas at El Paso president here on campus. We're talking about a little bit about her background. And as you all are aware, she's only been here a few weeks. She started August 15th. But we're going to try and find out a little bit more about some of the things that perhaps she has planned for all of us as a community. And those of us who are listening out there, as far as tuning into the radio, some of them may ask, how did someone with your background, not that there's anything wrong with this university or with the background, but the fact that you've been through so many things. You've been in the Air Force Academy. You've been a congresswoman. You were Secretary of the Air Force. How did you decide to come to UTEP? What made you decide that?
Well, when I became the Secretary of the Air Force, Secretary Mattis knew that the best job I ever had in my life was being a college president, and knew that I wanted eventually to come back to higher education in the West. And so, and not just higher education, but public higher education. And it is the mission that to me is what I'm passionate about, of teaching and driving discovery of public value and the impact that a university has in the community that we serve. And so you should spend your life doing things that matter, and higher education matters. And so when the University of Texas, when the headhunter from the University of Texas called, this is a pretty special place, and it's in the Southwest, which is where we're from. I married a guy from Albuquerque, New Mexico, so I've lived in New Mexico longer than anywhere else, and it's a pretty special place. And so it was a conversation that I wanted to have because it's an exceptional university.
A week before you took office here at UTEP, we had that horrible incident at the Walmart. And what did you think? I mean, this is just horrible. I know that at a luncheon that you had with us, you shared a little bit about the community and bringing everybody together. And let's face it, as parents, sometimes wherever our children do, we want them to be safe.
Yeah.
And so a lot of them may be thinking, okay, our schools are not safe anymore. Universities are not safe. How do you reassure a student or a parent or faculty and staff to that?
You know, we as a university focus on trying to create a safe place for people to work and learn. Because if people don't feel safe, you can't be open to new ideas and focused on the work and the development of your own education. So there are things that we do to try to ensure this campus is safe. And I've spent some time with both our police department here, as well as our environment safety and health folks, and looking at safety and understanding what we do, and even doing tabletop exercises here with the leadership team. But the more fundamentally, I think, like everyone else, I was, you know, shocked, sad, a little angry when something like that happens. And then, you know, I think one of the hardest things for me to accept as a young woman was that evil exists, and we're called to do good in the face of evil. And I think that's what you saw from a lot of people in El Paso after that event and across the country. You do good in the face of evil, and that's what we're called to do.
You mentioned earlier keyword impact. Another word that has been used by us, by our administration, by yourself, is excellence. So tell us a little bit about impact and excellence, because mm-hmm. what you just said about the students and being safe, all of us can have some kind of impact on somebody mm-hmm. else.
Yeah, with respect to excellence, it's excellence in teaching, it's excellence in research, it's we are as good as we've ever been, and now how do we get better? We come to work today and we look at the course we taught last semester and say, you know, I think I might be able to do that a little bit better. We're committed to excellence. And excellence doesn't mean perfection. There's no perfection on this side of the New Jerusalem. It means we do the best we can with the resources we have, and we try to get better every day. So that commitment to excellence is a strong element of any good university, and certainly a great university. The other one is impact. You know, public universities have a mission that goes beyond what private universities have. A public university drives discovery of public value and has it's a catalyst for so many things in the community around it. Improvement in health status, improvement in education. You know, 8,500 teachers in El Paso County were educated by UTEP. 8,500. That's a tremendous impact on this community. And it's why educating teachers, why excellence in education of teachers matters not just to the teacher who gets a job after they graduate from here, but it matters for the quality of education for everyone who lives here. And the same with a pharmacist or a nurse or a business person, an accountant. So we have a tremendous impact on the community we serve.
And as you mentioned earlier, the fact that you were the first in your family to get a college education, we have a lot of students here who also mm-hmm. first-generation mm-hmm. college students.
Yep, and they can do it. A great education is in reach of every kid who grows up here as long as they're willing to work hard for it.
Working hard is something that we are taught by our parents, our grandparents, our families. And during this time of year, college campuses across the nation are celebrating fall, celebrating the football season, pep rallies, all that stuff. What plans do you have, or is there anything that what do academics play? I mean, athletics play in academics. We all mm-hmm. know that a student athlete mm-hmm. is just that, a student first and then an athlete. But a lot of times, some of these athletes, they are overburdened because they have mm-hmm. so many things. They have to learn a playbook. They have to practice. They have to do all this. Plus, they have to go to school.
Yeah, there's a reason that college athletes are heavily recruited by business and industry after they graduate, and that's because they know how to work on a team, they know how to manage their time, they know how to train themselves and look at the long term. All of those things are wonderful skills to go out into the professional world. And so our athletes are being well prepared for life as long as we keep in mind that balance, that they are student athletes. I think so far as I've seen, we're keeping a pretty good balance and focus on that here. That said, athletics at a university is kind of one of the front porch of the university to the community in a lot of ways. It's a way in which we engage our alumni. It's a way to have fun and create excitement on campus. But I look at it with a balanced view that it is also about developing young people to their full potential.
One of the words you just used there, balance, that's a situation that all schools are faced with, and that's balancing their budget, mm-hmm. having budget cuts, all that. And you having been a congresswoman at one point and then also being Secretary of the Air Force, mm-hmm. you think that it helps you a little bit more because you know some of the insights as to how lawmakers work?
It probably does, or understand the context. I've used budgeting systems and strategic planning in every institution. That they're a little bit different in every institution. One of the things we are going to have to do here over the next year is update and do a strategic plan. We haven't done one here since about 2010. And that'll cause us to really look at how do we, hold in our mind the objectives we want to attain and figure out what are the best strategies to get there. And sometimes it means sequencing things. Sometimes it means we don't have all the resources we want to do everything all at once. So how do we do the best we can with what we've got? How do we decide we're not going to do everything all at once? Because if we do that, we probably won't achieve much of anything. Everything is short. So we'll go through some strategic planning. We'll look at enrollment planning, and of course, with respect to research, where do we go next?
Dr. Wilson, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
We've been visiting with UTEP President Dr. Heather Wilson. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineers Sam Cassiano, Chris Williams, and we had help from Esteban Sainz. Our thanks to our producer, Dee Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sainz.